Welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the most important and fastest-growing segment of society. To those of you who know that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they are actually counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. One of the foremost voices in the world relative to the corruption of religion in particular, but also how governments aid and abet the corruption of religion, is I.Q. al-Rasuli. He is the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. I.Q., welcome. Oh, I.Q., I can't hear you. Are you there? Or are we having technical issues? Well, while we try to resolve the technical issues, my hope today with I.Q. is to be able to discuss the issues surrounding Bo Bergdahl. Aaron, are you able to hear so that we're... and know that we are effectively broadcasting. And I can't even hear Aaron, so we appear to have a problem, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what the issues are or how we're going to... Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay, so we... I'm sorry for that rather... poor beginning to this discussion, I.Q. We had serious technical issues. We've had them since when I first dialed in this morning. You're familiar with the case of Bo Bergdahl, are you not?
Of course.
Okay. It is my conclusion, I.Q., that Bo Bergdahl is a tremendous liability for the U.S. government, for the U.S. military, and that rather than having an interest in trying to recover him, his life meant absolutely nothing to the president and the U.S. military. What's your take on why they negotiated for his release and traded five senior officers of the Taliban for him?
They didn't negotiate. It was Obama who did it, and Obama did it for one simple reason. He has every intention, and I said that before, by the way, of closing Guantanamo before he leaves in 2016. So he used this as an excuse to exchange five mass murderers, the top generals of the Taliban, for a deserter, which I think, and not I think, I know, it is treacherous and disgusting.
Yeah. My biggest issue with this, and yes, I agree that he wants to close Guantanamo, so releasing the five senior officers of the Taliban was Obama policy. And by the way, I don't have an issue with closing Guantanamo. And the reason I don't have an issue with it is that it is an illegal, from every possible perspective, it's an illegal operation. If we're going to declare war against the Taliban, then there are prisoners of war, and then there's policies that we have to adhere to relative to prisoners of war. If we don't declare war on the Taliban, then we have absolutely no justification whatsoever of having such a place. And if we want to pretend like American laws pertain to the rest of the world, then we have to try them in American court, and we're unwilling to do that. It's the same reason America didn't want to try Osama bin Laden. We have no interest in letting them explain the direct link between Islam and their behavior.
You're right. Yes.
So, you know, closing Guantanamo would be a good thing. The Obama administration... laid its cards initially on the top of the table. The cards didn't play very well, so they have changed their tune. But they opened their hand, and they said that the reason that they were doing this is because they wanted to engage the Taliban in negotiations with the hope that they could negotiate the prisoner exchange. And by the way, Bo Bergdahl was not a prisoner of war.
Absolutely. He wasn't. He was a deserter.
Right. By the way, and I want to tell you something. I've read his letters home. Everything he had to say about America's behavior in Afghanistan and the stupidity of us being there is correct. I mean, he Should his letters home reflect accurately his reasoning as to why we shouldn't be there, then he made the right decision to leave the U.S. military. But once you sign up for the U.S. military, you have no freedom. And so he is, in fact, a deserter by U.S. military standards. But be that as it may, it appears from what the Obama administration said is that the only reason they did this is they wanted to reopen negotiations with the Taliban. Why would
you hear about what? With all due respect, what are they negotiating?
All right, all right. Here's what they've said. They've said that, and this is well publicized within the Obama administration, that Clinton and Obama agreed on a policy that was just called Afghanistan Enough, was the name of the policy. And the policy was that since there was no chance of prevailing in Afghanistan and we needed to leave Afghanistan under the pretense of peace with honor like America left Vietnam, that the strategy would be that if we could get the Taliban to renounce all acts of international terrorism and to disown its affiliation with Al-Qaeda, that that would be considered sufficient, and then we could leave with peace with honor. What do you think
about
that?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
I know.
I said, I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
I know. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, go ahead, respond.
Well, I mean, what do they want? They are dealing with the devil, and they want the devil to change into an angel. Well, they're out of their mind. They really are out of their mind. You know, they are leaders of the greatest nation on earth, and they have absolutely no clue. None.
Yeah, well, you know, beyond the fact that that they are dealing with the devil, so that, by the way, if the Taliban was committed to international terrorism, they would say, we will agree to never engage in international terrorism again to get what they want, and the next day they would engage in international terrorism.
But, absolutely.
But the Taliban has never been an international terrorist organization. The Taliban only operates in two countries, and both of those countries they view as their own. Pakistan and Afghanistan. It's when Pakistan wants to perpetrate an act of international terrorism, say in India, they don't use the Taliban. They use other Islamic terrorist organizations.
Yes, they use Pakistanis.
Right.
Or they use Muslims in India. That's exactly
right.
What they were using.
Right.
Muslims in India.
Right. So the Taliban was created to increase Pakistani influence in Afghanistan. It is not an international terrorist organization. It's a fundamentalist Islamic organization, but they've never engaged in international terrorism.
No. And specifically within Afghanistan.
Right. And you and I both know that Al-Qaeda is a figment of Western imagination. That
100% is a figment. Yes.
Right. So renouncing a figment of one's imagination would be meaningless.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting, IQ, is that in all their negotiations up to this point, and the Obama administration has been very active negotiating with the Taliban. They did so through Qatar, but finally the Taliban stopped negotiating with them. And it's interesting. That's all that America wanted from the Taliban is those two admissions, and the Taliban wouldn't offer them. Do you know why the Taliban would not agree to those two things, which mean nothing to them?
Of course, because they would become non-Muslims.
No,
they abide by the conditions that the American government gave.
They would never abide by those agreements.
Exactly.
But the fact is, they're not an international terrorism organization, so they could renounce international terrorism, wouldn't change their behavior one iota, and they could renounce Al-Qaeda, since Al-Qaeda is a figment of Western imagination, and it wouldn't change their behavior one iota either. The reason that the Taliban don't want to negotiate with the United States for the withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan is they don't want American troops to withdraw from Afghanistan. Now, you know why?
Raison d'être. In French, they call it raison d'être. That means they have an excuse to be alive with the Americans being there.
That's half of the reason, and it's absolutely true. That's a very valid reason, and it's true. The second reason, of course, is that the only way that a Muslim gets to have a guarantee of Allah's brothel with the multiple virgins is to die as a jihadist in Allah's cause, killing infidels.
Correct.
And so, so with the Americans there and with Afghanis supporting the Americans, the Afghanis supporting the Americans are infidels. The Americans are infidels. You have infidel prey for the jihadis to earn bonus points with Allah so long as the American troops are there. When they're gone, how is anybody going to earn jihad points?
Killing Afghanis who are not Taliban.
Okay, yeah, they can continue to do that. But, you know, the amount of Afghanis they killed who are not Taliban was fairly de minimis, with exception of these guys, the fellows that we released from Guantanamo just recently. They killed 1,100 Shia Muslims in Afghanistan. So, but the Shias are being preyed upon by Sunni Muslims around the world. That's really nothing unusual. But the fact is, the Taliban wants Americans to stay in Afghanistan. It's in their best interest.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. Even 9,500 or 9,800, which would be literally game for the Taliban to kill them.
Right. So if you and I can figure that out, if you and I recognize that Bo Bergdahl is a huge liability for the administration and that they didn't want him back because they have no idea what to do with him now, and he's a complete embarrassment to the administration and to the U.S. military, boy, they risked a lot for a plan that had zero chance of success.
But they thought it was 100% successful. They never calculated the reaction of the American public.
Which is total disgust. Because even if you don't understand that everything that the administration has said is a lie, and they're lying now when they say that, you know, his health was a concern.
Nothing to do with his health.
Of course.
5 years and nobody worried about his health.
Right. And the video they said that told them that his health was failing was back in January. So clearly it wasn't his health. And the Taliban treated him like royalty. He was treated better than the Taliban treat their own troops because he was so valuable to them. We'll return with IQ Al-Rasuli, covering the lies that are the American administration after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with IQ Al-Rasuli about the unmitigated disaster of Bo Bergdahl on the administration. You are correct, IQ, in saying that the president got what he stated that he wanted, which was this fellow back, which by the end, and got rid of five detainees at Guantanamo Bay. But that's really not what they wanted. What they wanted was an open dialogue with the Taliban so they could do the Henry Kissinger, Richard Nixon deal in Vietnam and declare peace with honor and leave Afghanistan. And by the way, we do need to leave Afghanistan. It's just that why would you think that negotiating with the devil was somehow going to be a good idea? But the American people, they're disgusted. And part of the reason they're disgusted is that when you trade captives with an Islamic terrorist organization, what is the net result of that?
They kidnap more Americans, more Europeans, more white people, more Christian people. By the way, they already kidnapped a guy in Pakistan, I think it's Pakistan, a Jesuit priest.
Yeah, exactly. And so that is exactly what Obama's negotiation did, is it made every American at risk, as well as Europeans at risk, to being captive. The moment you make that move, you have to withdraw all of your troops from Afghanistan because their lives aren't worth a nickel anymore.
Well, to be honest with you,
yes,
I don't think Obama gives a damn about the military.
No, I don't think so.
As far as I know.
Or American citizens.
Not a single one working for Obama's administration, the civilians, has ever been in a war or in the army. Correct me if I'm wrong. Not one.
Well, that's certainly true at with Obama. His Secretary of State served in Vietnam, so it's not true. It's not true with it. But and by the way, I am not like most of the people that you do interviews with. I am not a patriot. I am anti-military. Now, I think our military is deployed to make bad situations worse. That we made a bad situation worse in Iraq. We made a bad situation worse in Afghanistan. Prior to that, we made a bad situation worse in Vietnam. So our military has become a liability,
not
an asset.
Fair. You're not fair. Yeah? The military did not choose. It was the civilians who chose it.
Yes,
it's always the civilians who chose it. The military obey.
Yeah, I understand. But it doesn't.
I don't blame the military.
I do. Because the reality is that if we didn't have that military, that we would not be breaking things and making the situation worse. We wouldn't be spending $1 trillion.
How do you defend America without military?
You don't need to defend America. Our military has never defended America, never once. The American military has never once defended America. If you want a nation to be free from invasion, all you have to do is make certain that the citizens of that nation are armed. And so if we honor the Second Amendment, there is no country in the world that could invade America. And by the way, there is no country in the world that wants to invade America. There is no country in the world that has the capacity to invade America. So defending America is just a matter of honoring the right to bear arms, which is why Jefferson wanted the amendment in the Bill of Rights. I know
on a personal note, I agree with it.
Yeah.
The instant Americans disarm, mm-hmm. you will have a dictatorship.
That's correct. That is correct. And Jefferson recognized that when the people are not armed, that the government is the only entity with arms, and that the arms of the government will be used to impose the government on the people. And that the only means to... You're right. The Second Amendment actually says the only means to freedom is to have a well-armed militia. And that's why the Second Amendment exists. It also is the defense against invasion, but it's the most importantly, Jefferson, by the way, all of Jefferson's letters regarding the military, he was wholly opposed to it. Jefferson realized the single greatest threat to any society was an established military. And he went on to enumerate all of the negative consequences of a military. Graft, bribery, propaganda, the deprivations of freedoms. And it goes on and on. And so, no, the American military is actually a liability to the country. We'd be vastly better off and vastly freer without it than with it. And if you look at what we did in your country, in Iraq, the case is overwhelming. Do you know that Hillary Clinton, in her new book, admits that the invasion of Iraq was a horrible mistake and she wished she hadn't voted for it? How do you... now communicate that to the million Iraqis that lost their lives as a result of the U.S. invasion? How do you say that to all of the Iraqis that are being killed every day as a result of the American invasion? We made a horrible mistake. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We have Glenn on the line. I know he either has a comment or question for IQ Al Rasuli. Go ahead, Glenn.
I may have been better off waiting to later, because I originally called in when you didn't have IQ. I thought, I'll jump in with something different.
Okay. Well, then let me finish then with IQ here. IQ, just one last thought before we move on to the next topic related to Islam, is that it was my conclusion when I wrote Tea with Terrorists and Prophet of Doom, particularly Prophet of Doom. As I studied world history, one of the things that I found is that you can never beat a religious enemy with an army. Religious enemies, indoctrinated enemies, have to be combated with words wielded wisely. And for example, in Vietnam, every time America dropped a bomb, we manufactured 100 more enemy than everyone we killed. In the case of Afghanistan and Iraq, for every jihadist that we killed, we manufactured somewhere between 100 and 1,000 more.
I agree with you. This is why I've always insisted that instead of burning the Quran,
right,
or banning the Quran, on the contrary, reveal the Quran. It's self-destruct.
Correct. Correct. Correct, yeah. Words wielded wisely. If you do what you and I have done, and you've studied what the Quran says, you've studied what the Hadith reveals, you know the Sunnah, the example of Muhammad, as a ruthless terrorist, then you can expose and condemn the religion. If more people were doing what we were doing, we would not have to use our military. 9/11 would never have happened if we simply exposed the truth about the religion.
Absolutely true. This is why the Muslims, they want to ban anything and everything critical of Islam. They want to make it international law.
Of course, of course. Because the religion is...
The truth is coming up with them. You see, with the Internet,
right,
you cannot suppress this information.
Right.
You can,
well, you
stop
can,
it
yes,
sometimes, but you
yes,
cannot
you
suppress
can. Yeah, you can in some ways. For example, my site, Prophet of Doom, has been down now for months because of denial-of-service attacks launched against it by Muslims. And the cost to bring it back up and to protect it from denial-of-service attacks is way too extreme to even be affordable. So they can suppress information, but they are absolutely aware, as you know, that the truth destroys the religion. Now, why would you die, why would you kill for a religion when you know, in fact, that the truth destroys it?
Because they are afraid. They really are scared. They are indoctrinated. They haven't got two iotas or two brain cells of logic. I have never debated a Muslim with a believer who could possibly have two brain cells of logic. Because if he had two brain cells of logic, he wouldn't be a believer.
That's correct. Yes, it's the Quran is the worst book ever written. It is unbelievably stupid. It's written at the level of a third grader that flunked his language class. It is invalid scientifically, invalid historically. It is a jumbled mess. It is invalid grammatically. None of its claims are accurate. It does not confirm the Torah. It absolutely contradicts the Torah in every possible way. It's not written in pure Arabic. It's actually written in Hebrew. Every claim that is made, including the depiction of the wannabe God, is just deplorable. I mean, Allah spends all of his time in hell torturing those who don't surrender to him. It's a religion based on predestination, which the moment you go to predestination, as St. Augustine did, as Calvin did, as Muhammad did, you show that you have absolutely no ability to think rationally.
Absolutely. There is no question about that. Predestination denies freedom of
Correct.
Logic. Freedom
right.
of will,
right.
freedom to choose.
Right.
And if
right.
you are not free to choose, then your existence is immaterial.
Right. But after all, Islam... Yeah, but Islam means surrender. It means submission. So no freedom is actually works in Islam. It's just that it doesn't work in any other sensible human doctrine. You know, there was something about Bo Bergdahl before we move to the next topic, IQ, that was very troubling to me. You're the President of the United States. You oversee a several hundred billion dollars worth of intelligence collecting. And yet you had Bob Bergdahl, Bo's dad, standing beside you in the Rose Garden in front of the White House, and he begins his announcement. There you go, which is the Islamic greeting. Now, how could you? How in
faith?
Oh, of course. How could you ever? I mean, allow that to occur unless A, you are a Muslim, or B, you think that the American people are so stupid that there aren't
stupid,
five of them
way,
that are going to figure it out.
They're stupid. They're stupid.
Yeah.
By the way, when
yeah.
the man said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Obama smiled.
Yes.
The program.
Yes.
He actually smiled. smiled.
Yeah, yeah, it's a declaration of faith in Islam. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the next part of it that I thought was amazing is 2 days before his meeting with the at the White House, Bob Bergdahl posted a declaration on the principal site used by the Taliban. It's a jihadi site that is the primary jihadi site for the Taliban in Afghanistan. And what he posted was, "May Allah avenge the death of every Afghan child."
Correct. I saw that. He also said that his intention is to empty Guantanamo.
Yeah. Well, yeah, by the way, I don't have any problem with him emptying Guantanamo. It should never exist in the
first place.
But the fact of the matter is that for a person who stands by the President of the United States, who is inviting Islamic terrorists to kill Americans to avenge the deaths of Muslims, is not somebody that should ever be at the White House. I mean, I'm opposed to the deployment of the U.S. military. I'm opposed to what we did in Afghanistan and Iraq. We broke both countries. We left them both worse than we found them. However, I do not want to encourage Muslims to kill Americans. I want to discourage Muslims from killing Americans. This man wrote and stood by the President of the United States. The war cry of Muslim terrorists the world over. The number one war cry is the infidels, particularly Americans, are killing Muslim babies. Therefore, we need to avenge their deaths.
But the fault is not with Bob. The fault is with Obama. Obama is deliberately anti-American. I've said this six and a half years ago.
That's true. That's true.
6.5 years ago, I said Obama is a traitor to America.
He is.
And nobody believes me, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
You're paying the price now.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. By the way, I would blame both of them. It is, the whole thing's astonishing. I'd like to move to another event, just that shows that the world is full of hypocrites at the highest level of governance. With the world meeting and spending all this time berating Putin for doing nothing, Boko Haram went into another Christian community in Nigeria and slaughtered 400 to 500 people yesterday.
I know.
Well,
but did anybody say anything?
No.
Did the United Nations say anything?
No. They still have the 225 some odd girls as sex slaves and as captives, at least those they haven't murdered. And no one seems to have any interest in finding them. And
do you know why?
Yes, and then yesterday, 500 more innocent people gunned down with every one of their homes burned down. Do you know how Boko Haram perpetrated the mass murder yesterday?
No, tell me.
Yeah, they dressed up in Nigerian army
uniform.
Right, yeah, and they were driving around in military vehicles, and then they went to the town and they said, "We're here to protect you from Boko Haram. We want everybody to assemble." They separated the men and boys, males on one side, women on the other, and then in front of the women, they systematically, one at a time, blew the brains out of the men and boys. And if a woman was holding a nursing child, they murdered that nursing child in the mother's arms, and then they burned down every home.
Performance of Muhammad 1400 years ago.
Yes, it is.
With the Al Qurayza tribe.
That is correct. So they, in fact, the interesting thing about the example in Yathrib, Medina, 1400 years ago, is that it's not just detailed in the Hadith; it's affirmed in the Quran. Where the Quran says that you terrorize them, that and that Allah made it possible for you to kill the men, enslave the women, and steal their property. It was all sanctioned by Allah.
By the way, I don't know if you noticed, if anything like that happened to a Palestinian, not 400 Palestinians,
one
single Palestinian, it's all over the YouTube.
Yep.
all over the news media, in print and on television.
Yeah, by the way, you know the last example of that where they had the CNN had their took the film of from a warehouse where Palestinians were throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails at the Jewish security forces, and then they showed this person allegedly killed, which no blood and no body, by the way, and unwilling to have the individual turned over to medical examiners to do an autopsy. None of that. So it was all staged. Do you know that since the day that CNN was telling the world they had this breakthrough footage of of the Jews murdering a Palestinian, that it's disappeared.
What Palestinian? 24 hours on the news media.
Yeah. By the way,
400 Christians in Africa.
Yeah,
in a minute.
Right, and the Jews didn't even kill him. I mean, the whole thing was a setup. But think of that. Think of that. The difference in how jaundiced our media is, how jaundiced our government is. They're sitting there and they're breaking their backs to tongue lash Putin. When Putin hasn't killed anybody, I mean, he hadn't killed anybody. And here you've got the Boko Haram, a fundamentalist Islamic group, following Muhammad's example, killing 500 people in a day, and they still have 225 kidnapped sex slaves. And we don't seem to care. I mean, to tell you, it is just so pathetic what we have become and the leadership of this country. You just have to shake your head and say, I hope to God we don't have the government we deserve, because if we do, we're as rotten as they are. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. There's another story that is won't go away. It's a woman named Miriam in Somalia. The big debate is she a Muslim or is she a Christian? Did she renounce her religion? I don't think that should be the question at all. Are you familiar with the case, IQ?
Yes, of course.
I'm
in the Sudan, not Somalia.
Okay, in the Sudan, I'm sorry. In the Sudan. Now, why would it even matter? Why should it matter? Why should anybody that says, let's say that she was a Muslim and that she's now a Christian, why should that be a death sentence?
Because it's Islam. Because in Islam, the compassionate religion, the tolerant religion, the superior religion, if you leave the superior religion, you have to be butchered.
Okay. So this, you know, the Quran actually says there should be no compulsion in religion. And then the Quran says if a Muslim becomes an apostate, if they reject their religion, kill them. I would think that death would be compulsion.
But it is compulsion. That's exactly what they're doing. They're terrorizing people into believing in something they don't want to believe. This is where the contradictions are. This is where the abrogation and abrogating and abrogated verses come in. This is why it's a dichotomy for people who know very little about the Quran. Right. They read the conciliatory verses of the Mecca period, and they read the Medina period, which are terroristic.
Right.
And their mind goes haywire. They can't figure out what it is.
Right.
And yet it's simple. Allah said, when I reveal something to Muhammad, I might change it to equal or better.
Yes. Yeah, so when he comes up with a contradiction, and by the way, all of this was allegedly revealed over about 12 years. So when 12 to 22 years, depending on how much of the mythology you buy into, but let's say it's 22 years, that the creator God of the universe that was able to create the universe 15 billion years ago and stay consistent all the way through and had no problem being consistent in his communications with Moshe and his prophets, all of a sudden couldn't keep a story straight for over a course of 22 years and was constantly contradicting himself. So he had to have a verse in the Quran to tell Muslims how to deal with his contradictions. Does that sound sane to you?
Of course, nothing about Islam is sane. It is the most insane scripture ever created.
Yeah, it is.
And
that's true.
It was not created by God. Allah is definitely not God, and most certainly not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham.
Yeah, he's not Yahweh. Now, the interesting thing is that every article you read on Miriam in the Sudan, once the reader to understand this dichotomy of whether or not she was a Muslim or a Christian based upon her father's religion or her mother's upbringing, when that ought not even matter. The only thing that ought to matter is, what on earth are we doing with a religion that says that if you renounce your religion, you have to die? Why in the world are we tolerating such a, why would the President of the United States go to Cairo and give a speech about how great the religion of Islam is when the Quran, it says that if a Muslim renounces their religion, kill him?
Because Obama is a Muslim.
Yeah, it's hard to explain any other way.
Beautiful, the most beautiful musical thing that he ever heard is the call to prayer of Islam. I mean, it's not rocket science here. The man is a Muslim.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to declare that he's a Muslim. He's using taqiyya.
Yeah.
Religiously sanctioned Islamic deception.
Yeah. Did you hear that in the last couple of days, the woman's brother, Miriam's brother, said that he wants her dead. And he says that she was raised a Muslim right along him, and that she changed to Christianity because she was given a magic potion, and that it was magic potion that changed
Muhammad also, by the way, as you know, in the Hadith, Muhammad also suffered from magic potions.
Yes. I mean, how stupid do you have to be to believe in magic potions?
Well, you have to be stupid because I said it. No believing Muslim can possibly have two brain cells of logic. And I defy any human being listening to us to find us a single believing Muslim with two brain cells of logic. Can be done.
But I would tell you the same would also be true of a Roman Catholic. You know, they found a grave of 800 babies that were starved to death by the Roman Catholic Church in Ireland over the last couple of days. You'd have to be completely irrational to be a Roman Catholic, just as you'd have to be completely irrational to be a Muslim.